You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, everyone. It's July 3rd, a Friday, the day before the 4th of July, obviously. Hope you're having a good weekend as you listen to this. I'm Brandon Marcello with 24/7 Sports. This is the College Football Daily. Trey Scott is on vacation, so I'm filling in for him, kind of going through the headlines for the day. And really, these headlines are going to set up the future for us as we look ahead to the college football amid the COVID-19 pandemic. We're kind of at a little bit of a crossroads, it appears here, at least according to some conference commissioners, athletic directors out there as well. Meanwhile, at Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy's been cleared after an internal review concerning the program and the search of whether there was any racism within the program under his watch. Also, Texas A&M has been placed on probation. What does that exactly mean? Hint, not much. But we start today with the big question of the college football season. When is it going to start? Is it going to start on time? Will it be delayed? Will it be played? Are we going to have to wait till the spring to see it? I've done a lot of reporting on this. Some things I have just not been able to write because of, no one knows anything. Let me put it that way. You're seeing a lot of stories being put out there about here's what could happen. This is what could happen. This is what could happen. And I keep coming back to a story that 24/7 Sports published back in April under the bylines of several people, Bud Elliott, Chris Hummer, myself, and others contributed to it, where it lined out every single contingency plan we had heard up until that point. And what we're seeing here a couple months later, going into July, are those contingency plans being discussed in public by these conference commissioners? So when a conference commissioner comes out and says, you know, I'm not so optimistic, the season's not going to start on time, here's the things we've discussed, it's nothing really new, but what it does is it kind of puts a little bit of a panic in people, in the football fans' eyes, because they know what's going on with the numbers and everything with COVID-19, but then they actually see a conference commissioner say, hey, we've talked about these plans, and it keeps reminding them that, hey, things could change here. Well, it's been like that since March, everybody. It's been like that since April. We've known these contingency plans for the most part since then. But this idea that we're getting closer to a conference actually saying, here's our plan. For example, we're going to play in the spring. Just throw that out there. We're going to play in the spring. Here's what the schedule looks like. I could tell you from just talking to people and reporting, obviously that's been discussed. There's been like just, you know, it's been brought up in meetings among these Power Five commissioners when they have their Autonomy Five meetings. But they have not come up with a schedule or what it would look like or anything like that, at least not in the SEC. There have been no formal discussions within the SEC office about here's what the schedule would look like in the spring. This is what the schedule would be. This is who would play. This is when the season would end. This is what a postseason could potentially look like. Would we still have an SEC championship game? That has not been even finalized. So I've reported that. Some people took that as, well, that means that that's not even on the radar. No, the spring football season is on the radar for them. It's just that they haven't like hammered out details as some people think. What does that mean? This is what it means, especially among the Power Five conferences. They're going to kick this can down the road as much as they have to, if they have to. If they can't start the season on time, they'll just keep delaying. They'll allow some teams to play, maybe not others or whatever. But they're going to try their darndest to play a football season, folks. That much I can guarantee you. It might be shortened, might not look like anything we're accustomed to, but they're going to play a season of some sort. It might not happen this fall. It might happen this spring, but they're going to try every avenue possible to do it this fall. So I say all that as a preface to what Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, told the Mercury News on Thursday afternoon. And I'll just read the quote, a couple of quotes here directly for you so you can hear it yourself. Larry Scott told the Mercury News, quote, I was cautiously optimistic, but the last couple of weeks have changed everyone's outlook because of the extent to which restarting the economy and loosening restrictions has led to significant outbreaks. I still want to be cautiously optimistic, but if there's no change in society's response and behavior, which results in a quick flattening of the curve and a decrease in the spread of the virus, that would lead to a much more pessimistic view about our campuses being able to open and our ability to play college sports, unquote. He goes on to say, and kind of, this is where we get into, you know, not necessarily fantasy land, but hypothetical land. And these commissioners are having to deal in hypothetical land across college sports. That's all their job's been for the last 4 months, for the bulk of the last 4 months. And this is what he said. Quote, it could be in the next week that we make a clear pivot, or 3 weeks from now, either individual schools, conferences, or the collective. Or we could keep putting one foot in front of the other and things start to look better, unquote. Again, no one really truly knows what's going to happen. In fact, the opinion and the guesses and the hypotheticals behind closed doors at these conference offices, I can tell you, it changes almost every 2 weeks or so, 2 to 3 weeks. Every time I'm chatting with people connected to the conferences, working in the conferences, their ideas and their potential plans and what might be implemented changes because of what's happening in the real world, obviously, with the COVID-19 pandemic. So what Larry Scott's saying here is exactly what we've been saying since April. This thing could change in 2 to 3 weeks. They don't know exactly what they're going to do. Now, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey has come out and said in the past, here in the last 3 weeks, actually, the last 2 to 3 weeks, that his target date for making a decision on whether they start the season on time is late July, which makes sense and lines up with what Larry Scott said, because that is when these mandatory workouts will be nearing their end across college campuses. By the way, those mandatory workouts start in about 2 weeks, July 13th. Those go on for a couple of weeks. Then the teams that have to play in week zero, they can begin their actual preseason camps in late July, early August, August 1st. Teams that play in week one, they can start August 7th with their practices. So the SEC, obviously, not a lot of week zero participants, and really across college football. What they want to do is make this decision in late July of whether the season starts on time or not. So what I'm telling you is this. For the next 3 weeks, you're going to hear a lot of, this looks like what's going to happen. This may be what happens. Here's my idea. Here are the things on the table. But none of that is going to be official until someone actually makes a decision. And the Power Five is probably not going to be the first group of conferences that makes a decision on starting the season on time or not. And talking to people, including coworkers and colleagues, and judging from the past, obviously, we've only been dealing with this for a few months, but the conference that you actually should be probably paying attention to kind of the litmus test of what's going to happen or potentially happen, again, it's all hypothetical, but that's the world we live in right now. Look at the Ivy League and what they end up doing here the next few weeks. I say that because if you remember back in March when this was all starting in early to mid-March, college basketball tournaments were either underway or beginning to get underway at the smaller level and also at the large level. Some small conference tournaments were nearing their end and some had already ended. But the first conference tournament to just come out and say, we're canceling it, we're done, we're not playing anymore, was the Ivy League. And I remember that happening, I believe, on a Wednesday, or maybe it was Tuesday, I can't remember which. Yeah, it was Tuesday. And it happens, and everybody's going, wow, that's interesting. And then a day later, people are saying, we're going to play our conference tournaments, but without fans. And then the Oklahoma City incident ended up happening. A player ends up testing positive for the virus. They cancel that game, and then all the other big conference tournaments goes, okay, it doesn't look like we're going to play this thing. So everybody canceled. I think with the Ivy League, not to say people will follow their lead, but whatever decision they make will probably come first because they don't have as much at risk financially with their football programs. as do these Power Five programs. And so whatever they do will, quote unquote, lessen the impact if, say, one of the Power Five comes together with the ACC, the Big 12, the Big 10, the Pac-12, and the SEC. They come together and say, hey, we're starting the season on time, or hey, we're delaying the season 2 weeks, or we're going to evaluate this every 1 to 2 weeks or something like that. And we'll continue to delay it until we feel comfortable with a plan. I think the Ivy League will set the tone with that because they have proven to make decisions earlier in the process of this. Right or wrong, I mean, I'm not saying whatever the decision will be, we don't know. But I wouldn't be surprised the Ivy League's the first one does it. And the Power Five almost follows along the way within a week or so or something like that. Either way, everything's hypothetical right now. We could discuss till we're blue in the face about what's going to happen or whatever. But what I could tell you is that there are dozens of contingency plans. We've discussed this several times at 247sports.com through our reporting since April, folks. Nothing really has changed. All options are on the table. All the conferences want to start the season on time. And until they get to that deadline, which looks like late July, they're not going to make a decision one way or the other. Meanwhile, in Stillwater, Mike Gundy was cleared by the university president and also the athletics director, Mike Holder, after an internal review of the football program. As you guys might remember, Chuba Hubbard, the star running back there, who I believe is a real threat to win the Heisman this season. And I think that's a safe thing to say. Even with the Trevor Lawrences of the world and Justin Fields of the world, I think he's a top five candidate, obviously. But Chuba Hubbard stepped up, and there were some issues brought up after Mike Gundy wore a T-shirt brandishing the a news network's logo, OAN, that's had some critics, I guess you could say, in the past about the way they've handled things. And the players tied that to some things they said that bothered them behind closed doors. Well, Oklahoma State did a review, and this is what they end up coming out with late Thursday. Mike Holder, the athletics director at Oklahoma State University, said, "We have spent the past couple of weeks reviewing our program and talking with current and former players. Our internal review found that Coach Gundy needs to invest more time in building stronger relationships with his student athletes. However, our review has uncovered no signs or indication of racism. After meeting with Coach Gundy, I'm confident that he listened to his student athletes. I believe he is genuine in his commitment to strengthening relationships with his players. I believe this to be a win for everyone. I'm looking forward to seeing the impact this will have on our team," unquote. So this goes back to kind of the storyline of Gundy's career at Oklahoma State, especially the last several years, about how he's kind of distant from his players and that he doesn't do a good job developing relationships. And that's what they're saying they uncovered in their internal review. Of course, the team has kind of come back together. Mike Gundy was quick to respond to Chuba Hubbard's tweet a couple weeks ago. They had a video they released together, and then a day later, Mike Gundy released a video speaking to the fans directly about the future. Gundy has spoken a little bit about how he needed to do a better job of connecting with his players and developing relationships. And these statements from Mike Holder and the OSU president, Burns Hargis, echo pretty much what Gundy believes to be the problem, that he's just not close enough with his players and needs to fix that. And the OSU president released a statement as well that you can find at 247sports.com this morning that echoes everything that Mike Holder said. He added that he appreciated the student athletes speaking candidly and the efforts of the athletics director to spend, quote, considerable time listening to present and past players. So does this mean that the whole issue is blown over at Oklahoma State? Probably not. It's going to be a work in progress. It's going to be interesting to watch this team and how it comes together going into this season. It's a program that is so used to winning 10 games a year that after last year, that disappointment, you're wondering like what direction this program go, especially in Gundy's career. You know, he's passed double digits as a head coach at Oklahoma State. You know, as things passed him by, You know, it seems like his name comes up every couple of years in flirtations with jobs, whether it was Tennessee in the past and even the Arkansas job a few years ago too. But all that aside, this is a team that I think is loaded in potential Big 12 contender. I think Oklahoma still wins the Big 12. I predicted that in my conference predictions, but I've got Oklahoma State finishing second, knocking off Texas in the Big 12 in the regular season finale. If they can get it all together, they've got Chuba Hubbard, Spencer Sanders, a quarterback. They're loaded. They've got great receivers. They just got to get that passing game back on track, and I think they will this season with the new offensive coordinator on board and an older quarterback, a quarterback a year under his belt. But that's the status in Stillwater. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with a former Big 12 rival of Oklahoma State's, Texas A&M, now in the SEC, of course, and what's going on there right after this break.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome back to the College Football Daily. On Thursday, the NCAA made a ruling on Texas A&M that it was interesting timing considering, you know, we're in July, but the NCAA doesn't make much sense with a lot of their timing on situations. But anyway, the NCAA decided, hey, we're going to put Texas A&M on probation for a year. Jimbo Fisher, the head coach, is on a show cause order for 6 months after they found that they violated NCAA recruiting and athletic-related activity rules. Those activity rules were about, I guess, 7 hours of extra spring practice that weren't supposed to happen. Apparently, these violations occurred, allegedly, January 2018 through February 2019. It involved a former assistant coach who's now at Tennessee, Jay Graham. Anyway, long story short, how does this affect Texas A&M? It really doesn't. Fisher could not have asked for a better time other than maybe in April or May to get this because he's not going to be allowed to go off campus to recruit. But who's going to be allowed to go off campus to recruit this fall? Probably no one because of the COVID-19 situation. And the NCAA continues to kick the can down the road with the recruiting dead period. Now it runs through August. So just from that standpoint, Fisher's six-month probation is really just 4 months at this point because no one's going off campus and no one's coming to campus for recruiting through the next 2 months, July and through the month of August. So what it doesn't mean, these penalties really mean nothing to Texas A&M. And if you're an A&M fan, don't worry about anything. I think it's as simple as that. The NCAA is, more opinion time. It has become so toothless. And some of its punishments. And sometimes when they try to flex their muscles, they're ridiculous and do so and overstep their bounds in some ways, which has been a criticism of theirs for goodness, 30 years really. But for A&M, this really doesn't mean anything. In fact, Jimbo Fisher's probably like, that's great. Even if we can go off campus to recruit, I don't have to travel as much. I'm good with that. He's getting paid a fat check anyway with that ridiculous deal at Texas A&M, and he gets to stay home, you know, instead of flying out during the week and during the bye week worrying about recruiting and everything like that. He gets to stay on campus and just relax and, you know, go buy another cow or two like he's done, you know, and get some expensive cowboy boots. So, yeah, it really doesn't mean anything, folks. It was like, in fact, when that news came across Thursday, it was like a blip. It was like, even when it happened, it's like, okay, so. But when you see those three words, show cause order, you immediately think, oh, whoa, Jimbo's not going to be able to coach at all. Nope, that's not the case. He can still coach. What's interesting is the SEC didn't really respond to anything involving Fisher. It makes you wonder if, like, if maybe they'll take their own actions. But they're probably usually how these work, these investigations from my past dealings and covering SEC beats, Mississippi State and Auburn. Usually what happens is when these violations occur, it goes to the SEC office first. It goes to the conference office first. They look into it, and then they go and report findings, or they share in the investigation with the NCAA itself, and then the NCAA takes over and decides any punishments. Usually the conference offices will even recommend punishments to, one, the school and also the NCAA simultaneously, and then the NCAA will decide whether they accept those or not. It's usually how it works. I hope you followed me there, but that's usually how it goes. So not clear whether this was a punishment that the SEC saw fit and said, okay, that's enough, or if there'll be more things on the way. My guess is this is it, because the SEC did not release anything that was earth-shattering. So Texas A&M, big program that everybody's kind of expecting this year to potentially finally take that next step under Jimbo Fisher. And really get back to that point they were in those couple of years with Johnny Manziel, where they're contending against Alabama in the SEC West. This year, a lot of people think they will do so with Kellen Mond back as a senior at quarterback and all the pieces they have back on defense. This could have been a situation that would have, you know, hurt them a little bit off the field if Jimbo Fisher actually had a show cause where he couldn't coach or anything like that, but it's not going to affect them that way. And obviously, A&M's dealing with some stuff off the field right now as players and like many players across the country participate in protests about racial injustices and discuss, you know, campus monuments and other monuments in their community. But as far as the coaching staff, when it comes to these NCAA violations, it's really not going to change anything. So that's where we are heading into the 4th of July weekend. This next week, I think, is going to be one that, one, is crucial for whether we see an on-time start to the season, but also one where it's probably going to be quiet, because I think conference commissioners are going to try and take a breather, because when they come back on, say, July 12th or so, that's when they're really going to have to start figuring things out. And as I said, it looks like that last week in July is when decisions are going to have to start being made and plans put in place. But until then, everything's hypothetical. And at 24/7 Sports, we're going to continue to prepare as if the season's starting on time, because that's what you expect. That's what we expect. We expect football. We want football. We've got preseason content out the wazoo at 247sports.com. Google Ultimate College Football Preview and you'll see it. It's at 247sports.com. A lot of content. Videos, podcasts, and plenty of articles previewing your favorite teams and conferences. That's it for this episode of the College Football Daily. Trey Scott will be back with you. I've been Brandon Marcello. You can follow me on Twitter at @bmarcello. Make sure to go to 247sports.com for much more coverage.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.